Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night, the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky, as always. Glad that you guys are here. Really appreciate you. And let's just dive right in. Ole Miss beats the Citadel, as you know, they were going to, no matter what. And the week is here, Florida week. And yes, I am a little early, I know, but I feel like garbage. So the earlier the better for me. This might be a shorter one tonight because I am ready to go to bed. But yeah, and now it sets up a really interesting week. And it comes from two different places. It comes from the prospect of Ole Miss making the college football playoff. This game would be massive. It doesn't matter the opponent. Anybody with SEC on their chest coming to Oxford this weekend would have been just a massive game in every conceivable level. Ole Miss is 9-1. They are poised to make the college football playoff with just taking care of business. They don't have to play above their heads. They just have to play the way that they're capable of, and they'll make the playoff. So it doesn't matter the opponent on the field. This game on Saturday is just massive. So again, that part of it, the opponent doesn't matter. It's just the situation that Ole Miss has played themselves into. But also, because of the opponent, this week is a little bizarre. And I am curious to see how it gets handled from all fronts. I don't think the Ole Miss football team is going to have trouble getting ready for this game. They have not given you any sign whatsoever that they're going to let outside stuff affect them. The football team itself hasn't shown that. But this week can become kind of a circus. Will a lot of national guys like be there? Will, like, what will Lane's press conference tomorrow look like? What will that be like tomorrow? And who's going to be there? And what kind of questions is he going to get? Is he going to do his typical thing? Like, what's going to happen here with the narrative and the discourse around this game? Because this is as unique of a game as you can think of. You've got one team that is fighting for a playoff berth, a win in their end situation, but the team coming to town is very actively trying to hire the head coach of the higher ranked team on their home field. Presumably Scott Strickland will be there on Saturday, and he is trying to hire away the coach on the other side of the field. Presumably Jimmy Sexton will be there, and he is facilitating to some degree the conversations that are going on in Florida's attempt to hire Ole Miss's coach away as they are playing each other on Saturday. And how is that going to look and feel? And, you know, as we say all the time, there's a very easy way to make all this go away. And Lane Kiffin can do that if he wanted to. He has chosen not to, to this point. I know that he doesn't do contracts until after the season. I think that's a cop-out excuse is what that is. If you were truly disinterested in leaving, then you have an opportunity to make that known. But he's chosen not to do that, allowing this kind of stuff to happen. And that's okay. As long as your team plays well, it doesn't really matter what the discourse is. What matters is the results on the field. So if they continue to play like they've been playing, you know, whether or not he has an extent, like, none of that matters at all, as long as the football team keeps playing well. I've thought about this. I've asked people about this. Like, can you remember a time where two teams have played each other in a situation like this one is in, and nobody can come up with even a comparable environment that is going to be in Oxford on Saturday? Obviously, we're going to talk about it all week, and I'm looking forward to that with you. But I am more, and you can't escape the coaching thing, but I'm more interested in the actual football, because this is an Ole Miss team that, again, they sit at 9-1. and they're a big home favorite. And I think they're going to be, depending on the results of the Missouri game this weekend, I think they're going to be somewhere around a touchdown favorite in Starkville as well. But Ole Miss football has not been in this situation very often. And so that's where I would like to spend more time discussing is the football side of this, if that's okay with you guys. I know the coaching stuff is going to come up. I know you guys are going to want to talk about it. But there is too much of the, you know, the actual football that is too big to ignore, despite what the discourse and the conversation around this game is likely going to be. So that being said, is there anything to take away from this the game this past Saturday? Ole Miss wins 45-0 over the Citadel. As I told you guys on Thursday, the only thing that you can take away from a game like this is simply health of the team. You're overthinking it if you're trying to analyze anything else, in my opinion. Look, and I'm not saying others are wrong for talking about it. A game happened on the field. Talk about it. There's just, and you guys saw it, such a stark contrast in athlete between the Citadel and Ole Miss that even if you're like, you know, hey, that, you know, that third string guy played and played well, he could be good in the future. I see that. Like Maddox looked really good on the defensive line, for example. But he tied for the team lead in tackles and had a tackle and a half for a loss. And so, like, yeah, he did look athletic and all that. But look at who he was playing against. So to me, like, yeah, that looked good. But it is the Citadel. There is just so little that you can really take away from a game like that. And yes, I know some young guys looked nice, but they have better reps in practice than they did on Saturday. You get a better look and you get more of an indicator of what they're capable of on the practice field as opposed to that glorified scrimmage on Saturday. Did like a couple things. One, they came away relatively healthy. There were a couple of scares. Daquan Wright, and also Will Eccles. That was both of those injuries were like, oh no, that's not good. But they ended up being okay. So they came away healthy, which was on the radio show, we did three keys to the game. Or that's what we do every Friday. Three keys to the win. And mine for Ole Miss, my three keys were number one, stay. Number two, healthy. Number three, please. Stay healthy, please. Those are my three keys to the game. On Saturday. So they did that. They seemingly got away from this game healthy without any significant injury. So that is a positive. Also, I did like sorry, I told you guys, I am struggling at the moment. I did like that they let Trinidad sling it around a little bit. That was one thing that I was looking forward to going into the game is, you know, he had an off night against South Carolina. So just let him throw the football around a lot and build that confidence back up before Florida. And they did that. I mean, 33 passes through four incompletions, had three touchdowns. You know, again, it's the Citadel. It's far less about the effectiveness of the passes and more about building the confidence up for him. And also Kewon Lacy, very clearly Lane Kiffin is intentional on getting him a touchdown record. As you know, Lane Kiffin kind of took a thinly veiled shot at a previous running back when it came to ego and stuff like that. But yeah, Kewon Lacy is going to break the touchdown record at Ole Miss. And they made it a point to get him a few of those this past Saturday. He'll probably break that record against Florida. So stayed healthy. Trinidad threw it around a little bit. There's nothing else to take away from a game like this. The physical mismatch was so stark that nobody was given a good enough look to make a determination about what kind of player they are next season. It's fun to watch. It's always good to watch your team win. For those of you that went, a pretty stress-free Saturday in the stadium isn't the worst thing in the world, but It is certainly a game that was a waste of everybody's time, with the exception of the exchange of money that the Citadel most definitely needs as a program. So that's really it. I don't know if I asked you already, please subscribe if you have not. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe. and leave a rating and a review. Also, follow me on Twitter. If you feel like it, just search my name and you can find me there. And this podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's their website. They're off of exit 40 in Brookhaven. And they will give you $1,000 off on me, $1,000 off on me before anything else, if you just tell them that I sent on any in-stock new Toyota. So check them out, Toyota of Brookhaven, one of the highest-rated service departments in the state. You don't necessarily want to just buy in your backyard. You want to buy from people that you know will take care of you, and that's what they'll do at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com is the website. Office technology anywhere in Mississippi. If you need office technology, check them out, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform, local loan servicing and decision-making, location scattered across the state of Mississippi. Sorry. They will make you their priority because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. The time has come for Florida. Truly one of the more bizarre circumstances in a football game. I mean, the earlier coaching carousel has led into this as well. Forgive me, guys. Sorry. I am riding the struggle bus tonight. Forgive me. But yeah. Appreciate your content. Appreciate you, Daniel. Glad you're here, man. Florida looked like a dumpster fire last night. Hopefully they have thrown in the towel. That was a team last night that had quit. Yeah, you say it right there. It looks like the Gators completely quit in Lexington. Lagway benched and Kentucky did not punt. Yeah, that was the Q word. And I mean, what, they have 16 players out for the game. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more. That team had quit. And you know, maybe they find a way to get them up for this one. Ole Miss should smell blood in the water. And this is one of those situations where, like, Ole Miss got conservative against South Carolina, kind of dialed it back and just kind of cruised to a win. This is one that if you are afforded the opportunity, you run it up a little bit. You don't approach Florida the same way you did South Carolina in the fourth quarter. Let's put it that way. Attended your first Ole Miss game yesterday. What a great atmosphere and friendly people. Awesome, man. Awesome. I really hope you enjoyed it. It sounds like you did, but yeah, Florida is in a free fall. Yeah, they are. Sorry, I'm really struggling. Yeah, they are. And I mean, but what do you expect, though? I saw, because now my algorithm's filled with Florida people. They were like, oh, this is embarrassing. It's like, what'd you expect? You fired your coach. What did you expect, the team to just be awesome down the stretch? What? No, the team's in bad shape, and you fired the coach that the players went there to play for, that they like. What did you think was going to happen? You're in a bad situation anyway. Georgia also manhandled State. State's defense has been getting worse as the season goes on, and now Blake Shapen's time at quarterback may be over. Yeah, I would make the switch if I were them. I really would. Especially since they have been really bad in pass protection as well. They're really struggling on the offensive line right now, and it sounds like Albert Reese might miss the remaining two games for them. Taylor's got consistency issues throwing the football. I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, he threw a beautiful deep ball for a touchdown in that game, but like little swing pass, he misses his just little swing pass, misses him by 6 yards. So he's quite inconsistent throwing the football. But he's very athletic. I mean, he's big and tall and can run. I mean, Chapin's been getting banged up anyway. I mean, he got hurt in the game. I assume could have come back. It looked like he could have, but still took a big shot. His pocket presence isn't particularly good, and the offensive line protection is not particularly good. I would make the switch now. Now is the time, especially after you get your – forget my language. You get your ass kicked a little bit. Not a little bit. They got their ass kicked on their home field, and the only promising thing you did all day offensively was with Taylor in the game. Yeah, you go for that. And then on the flip side, you're right. And now Isaac Smith might be hurt, but just got gashed, and they're seemingly kind of getting worse as the season goes on. I don't think they have a whole lot of depth defensively. And I think on the defensive line, they're really not what they need to be to be a super quality SEC defense. And teams that can run the football are going to be successful against State. That was Georgia. Missouri's really good in the run game. And I think Ole Miss, especially with Trinidad's legs, will be able to give them some fits as well. So I would make the switch. State's got a pair of receivers, though, guys that are explosive and fast. And Lebby does a good job of scheming them open. So I hope you just didn't look at the score of the Georgia game and think that's, you know, that they're just going to be some kind of pushover. I don't think they will be. But there are a lot of flaws on that football team, and Georgia very clearly shined a big-time spotlight on what those issues are, and I don't think there's really much that they can do about them. But I would make the change of quarterback. Lagway might not even start against Ole Miss. Why would you? Why would you? What was the purpose of Lane's Lagway benching retweet? To troll, because he's a troll. I would strongly encourage people to stop reading into Lane Kiffin's social media posts. He is a troll. It's what he does. It's what he always will do. He has fun on social media. I know there's a lot of stuff about home and all that, but then there's a lot of things where I would just laugh when they're funny and not read too much into them, good or bad. I wouldn't do that. Kind of thought Mike Norvell would get fired today. I guess that's coming at season's end. Part of me wonders if they have the money. I mean, it was reported earlier that it would be in total of about $100 million. Not everybody just has that to spend. So, nationally, outside of the Big Ten, there were positive results for Ole Miss. The ACC continues to destroy itself. Memphis lost to Tulane, and Texas Tech took care of BYU. Yep. The ACC absolutely should be a one-bid league, and you say it right here. I mean, unless Georgia Tech wins out, which I don't think that they will, the ACC getting an automatic bid will be tough to swallow. And then you look at, like, let's pretend like it's Tulane for a second. I know Tulane has two Power Four wins, so that does help swallow that. Or, like, it makes it easier to stomach, I should say, with Tulane being the team in the driver's seat with those two wins. But, I mean, are we really going to welcome a team and think that, like, hey, this is what it needs to be. This is the format that we want. This is what is best, when you've got a team that has a 45-10 loss to Ole Miss and a 22-point loss to UTSA. Like, that is their two losses, jumping how many teams that they will jump to get into the playoff. And that's assuming they run the table. This is a bad year for the G5. You hope that when they get there, they have a good showing, because this could be the year where people push away from that. Mark Keenum on Feinbaum, the SEC's made no secret about it. The SEC wants no automatic bids. And this year is a perfect example for why that I've argued against automatic bids the whole time. But it's very obvious to see that the SEC, the reason why the SEC does not want them. It never made sense to begin with. It was always a flawed format. And in fact, the SEC more often than not would get more than the allotted four teams. You could possibly, like, be regress or holding your conference back. But on what planet, even in a 16-team playoff, should you guarantee this ACC two bids to your playoff? On what planet should the ACC get two? On what planet should the Big Ten be guaranteed four? Guaranteed, remember, guaranteed four. On what planet should they be guaranteed four? Not this one. So the automatic bid thing was always stupid, and we always knew, because we talked about it, that the SEC didn't want that. And now they're being very public about why they don't want it. And here, this year is a perfect example for why. Because the ACC does not deserve multiple. The Big Ten does not, in its present form, deserve four. And the G5 in its current state does not deserve one. But anyway, as a Citadel fan alum, just wanted to say thank Ole Miss fans for the hospitality and respect this week, and the Grove is undefeated. That's awesome. I'm glad you made the trip and love to hear it. I don't know if you've watched these before, but I cover Ole Miss. I attended Ole Miss, but I grew up in South Carolina. I had friends go to school there. I have a lot of respect for the Citadel as well. It's a great place, and it produces good people. So I'm glad to hear that you had fun and you made the trip and you were treated well, because I got a soft spot for the Citadel. You're going to hate this, Citadel alum. I grew up a Furman fan, though. My dad and I went to Furman games every Saturday, so we're supposed to hate each other. So I'm like, screw you, you suck, get out of here. But yeah, I'm glad to hear it, man. That's awesome. After the Florida loss yesterday, I think the hype for this game has gone down. I disagree. At least from the Ole Miss perspective. It doesn't matter what kind of state. Again, it doesn't matter the opponent. Florida being the opponent helps with the spice from the fans, right? Like the in-stadium environment will be a little bit spicier. But in terms of the magnitude of the game, Florida being the opponent, the coaching search part of this and the game part of it, I think, need to be separated. Doesn't matter who the opponent is. This game would be massive if it was 1-whatever Kentucky or 10-whatever Georgia. The importance of the win is unchanged because Ole Miss is already in the position that it's in. It doesn't need any more help, right? You don't need to build your resume. You've already done everything you need to do. Now you just need to win. Doesn't matter against who. Is Florida really that bad, or has it been their coaching? Coaching, poor quarterback play, bad injury luck, players opting out, all the above. League is tough. I mean, it's not the most talented team out there. Tickets for the game in the resale market went up by over $100 the last few days. Oh, hate that. Ole Miss is clearly better than these final two opponents. One has quit and the other is mounting up injuries. And yeah, you know, you hate to do this, or you hate to talk like this, but I mean, truly, at this point, like a loss Saturday would be such a stunning indictment on Lane Kiffin, and it—I mean, would that be the catalyst too? That would, in his mind, decide that I can't do it here, but it would be exclusively his fault. It would be a collapse at this point to lose to this Florida team. Like that's what it would be. There's no other spin. There's nothing else. Ole Miss losing on Saturday would be exclusively the blame for that would exclusively lie at the feet of the head coach. There's no excuse. And it's to his credit that his team has gotten into this position to have a game like this. But there is no excuse, none, to lose this game on Saturday. Truly none. Only takeaway from the Citadel game other than health was you wish the receivers and backup offensive line helped Simmons more. He was unlucky with some plays in garbage time. He was. It feels like the offense just fits a quarterback like Trinidad so much more. Talk about the third string quarterback who played. He threw one pass. He completed it. I would be surprised if he ever takes meaningful snaps barring injury at Ole Miss. But crowd was pretty good on Saturday. I thought it was fine. All the hand-wringing about crowd and attendance and stuff is just so stupid. And I'm sick of it. For a noon extra home game this year, you just had a conference home game, and then you've got another one coming up. Sandwiched in between is the Citadel at noon. The crowd was great for the circumstances. And just all the pissing and whining about attendance. I'm tired of it. Attendance and support has been awesome at Ole Miss in the Lane Kiffin era. And I'm just The students leave too early. And I think part of that is a product of, well, a lot of things. And we can go into that later. And they're fixing that. But support's been fine. It's a goofy, goofy conversation. Yeah, Kiwon Lacy, the touchdown leader in the country. Absolutely. Trinidad was more on target in general. No, it was the Citadel, but he hit everything like he should. He did. Much more comfortable. The Florida and State outcomes were perfect. Yeah, and then State having to go on the road now. And we'll see how motivated Missouri actually is. They got kind of smoked. And, you know, how motivated will they be knowing that they've been essentially eliminated from the playoff? We'll see. But Missouri runs the football really well. That'll be an issue for State. We got home, watched mostly Iowa and Oregon. That was an awesome game. Yeah, pouring down rain. That was a tough win for Oregon. And, yeah, Alabama is slogging their way through the end of the season. They're not impressive at all, but you just got to win. You just got to win. Not sure Florida State can afford to fire Mike, but if they do, this will be the strangest coaching cycle ever. Yeah, I don't know what direction they would go either. You were hating on Cutter Bowley? Yeah, he was great against Florida, wasn't he? Good for him. You can throw records out the window for the Egg Bowl. Should Ole Miss fans hope for a State upset this weekend? No. You want them to be as demoralized as possible.
You okay, Bobo?
Bad dream. He's having a lot of those lately. Georgia ran for over 300 yards. Yeah, and could have run for a lot more. They really dialed it back. I think Shapen would be the better quarterback for Ole. Oh, God, no. What am I thinking? No. You want the true freshman with consistency issues, I think. But, man, Shapen's pocket presence has been so bad, and he's kind of been mistake-prone in important spots. But Tyler Siski indicated that he heard something about Lane staying put in Oxford and that he's expecting some news in the next week or so. That was last night on the MPW post-game show. Thoughts? I did not hear it myself, so I cannot comment on exactly what he said. But considering the connections that he has, I would listen if he said something along those lines. I would just tend to believe him considering the field in which he works and the connections that he has. But I did not hear it myself, so I can't comment on it. Thoughts on Auburn Vanderbilt? fun game. Pavia was awesome against that awesome defense.
Bubba, hey bud, it's okay.
Sorry, did you guys hear that? He keeps having bad dreams back here. Derek Nix, interesting. The second Hugh Freeze gets out of there, suddenly the offense looks awesome. It's almost like, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but Hugh Freeze got a lot of credit for his offenses at Ole Miss, and nobody ever spoke on Dan Werner. Maybe he's always been an offensive fraud. Certainly was at Auburn. There's real smoke around the State program that they have a chance to flip Braylon Womack. So I've called his games all year. Super impressive athlete. I think he's a better receiver than safety. But I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. But I think he has been more impressive at receiver than safety to me. But he is a superior athlete for sure. Who do I think Florida hires? Eli Drinkwitz or Lincoln Riley? If Furman plays the Citadel, I pull for Furman. I grew up a Furman fan. I just have friends that went to the Citadel. So Missouri was handicapped to start, but A&M continues to be so impressive. They're the best team in the league, I think. Lane does enjoy the banner. He does. Yeah. Was hoping Penn State would pull it out against Indiana, but that was a hell of a final drive by Mendoza. See, and that's What is so impressive about Mendoza is what he does in times like that, because he wasn't very good yesterday until he had to be, and then he was awesome. And I love his post game too. He seems like a very like humble and impressive leader. I like Cignetti a lot. That was an awesome win. It really was. And Gus Johnson, I don't know what the hell that was on the call, but I mean, and also shout out to the official, by the way. What a great call to call that a touchdown and getting that right. I mean, God, that was awesome. And so officials get grief all the time, but he called that absolutely correct in real time. And so kudos to the back judge there for getting that call right. But unbelievable catch. I mean, catch of the year for sure. That was really cool. How good is Ohio State? Who have they beaten? Ohio State's, I mean, they beat Texas, but they only scored 14 points. Now, that was Julian Sain's first start. I mean, Ohio State beat Penn State badly. Their schedule was pretty weak. I mean, they won at Illinois comfortably. That's a pretty impressive win, I guess. But they're just kind of trudging along a little bit. I don't know how good they are yet. Lane looked happy during the Citadel game. Yeah, the proposal thing was funny. Yes, and Indiana losing would have opened the door for playoff for sure. No, there is not a stadium renovation happening at Ole Miss right now. If you see it on Facebook, immediately question its validity. So I appreciate you coming to fact check. No, that's not real. They would like to, but no. Mm-mm. Really like the decision to go back to Odom after the drop. Good confidence boost. I love when coaches and quarterbacks do that. The 5 and 6 seeds are almost going to have a freebie in round one. Yeah, I mean, whoever the G5 opponent is for the 5 seed is going to be. I mean, there's always opportunity for upsets and stuff. But thoughts on Tyler Shuck today? He already has the same amount of wins as Rattler had in 2 starts. I mean, Hunter, I don't know if you saw his third down stats. And also his stats under pressure. And that was a knock on him going into the draft, was under duress he wasn't good, but he was today, and he was really good on third down. I think you saw why his agent was totally fine with him not starting right away. I mean, especially – so the Olave catch was insane, right, the one-handed catch. But Shuck navigating the pocket, stepping up, knowing he's about to take a hit, taking that shot and throwing an accurate pass was awesome. It's just awesome. But guys, I hate to do this. I'm struggling badly. So we've gone 30 minutes. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and hang it up. We'll pick this back up on Tuesday. I need to go to bed. I'm sorry, guys. We'll pick it back up on Tuesday. Keep talking about this game, but hey, Ole Miss gets a win. And, I mean, they just did what they needed to do. We'll be back on Tuesday. See you guys at 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. See you then. Well, wait. No, not 9 o'clock on Tuesday. After the game, when it just post game after basketball, right? They play on Tuesday, don't they? I believe. Let me double check before I actually leave here. Let me double check. Schedule Tuesday. SEC. Yes. So it'll be a late one. The game starts at 8, but we'll just go post game after the game on Tuesday. See you guys then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.